Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson and Abby Weinstein. Lori and Abby spend their days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. They talk to parents of struggling students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. They want to share those stories along with their own insights with you. So, let's talk learning disabilities.
Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities. This is Lori.
And this is Abby.
Today, today we're both having to podcast from home because it's time for another Texas snowstorm. So we're stuck at home today, snowed in. But thanks to the miracle of technology, we're able to still record our podcast today. So while we're hunkered down at home, enjoying a little bit of very little bit of snow and a lot of ice, we're going to have a really great conversation. Today, we have a really special guest. I think every week we have a special guest, but today we have Marcus Stefani. Marcus is a student, and I'm going to let him tell a little bit about himself, but we're kind of continuing our series, Living With. We're on episode number 35, and I think this is our fourth Living With?
I believe it's our fourth or fifth Living With. Okay. We did start one before the new year. And then I believe we've had four more. So
it's not really all that important, but I'm excited that we've kind of been able to pull in enough people from different backgrounds. And we've really kind of hit the jackpot with college kids, which is interesting because it's not when we started this, I would not have thought we would have had some, but I think all of them have been college kids.
We had one high school student. We had Emily.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay. Yeah. So Marcus, thanks for being here today.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So first, before we just kind of dive in, tell us a little bit about you. Tell us where you're at and what you're doing and give us just kind of some basics.
I'm from California originally, but I'm in New York. I go to NYU. I'm a sophomore in college and I'm majoring in economics with a minor in business studies.
Wow. What made you want to go across the country to go to college?
A couple factors. My sister lives out here and I'd gone to NYU too. So even though it was far, I was somewhat comfortable with the area and I knew the school a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then also just the prestige and notoriety and name of the school was a lot higher up than most of the schools on my list.
Wow.
Awesome.
That's awesome. So how long does it take you to get home?
To California?
Mm-hmm.
Going back 6 hours, coming here 4.5.
Wow.
Wow. That's a long flight.
That is a long flight. Do you go home often?
Not as much as my friends. I go home for winter break. I went home for a month. And then last summer, I lived out here the majority of the summer. And this summer, I'm living out here again. So I only go home about a month and a half a year.
Wow. Huh. I bet that makes your mom sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, neither of us live at home anymore, so.
She's officially an empty nester.
She is. Yeah.
So you have kind of a unique story. So we're going to talk about a few different things, but do you mind just kind of going back to your first kind of experience in testing and getting diagnosed? And what was that like and what was that for? Do you remember?
Yeah, so I think the first time I got formally tested, I was in fourth grade going into fifth when I was 10, I think. And that was after I had decided, from about kindergarten to third grade, I didn't have any struggles in school. Was like a straight A student in the younger years and really good at math and reading and English. And then when I hit fourth grade, I hit like a wall as algebra came in. And more advanced things you have to learn like before junior high. So I was struggling in school and didn't really like the school I was at. I thought it was too structured and too traditional. So I was moving schools, and with moving schools, my mom thought it would be a good idea to get tested to see if there was something else. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time. So 10, they diagnosed me with ADHD. And then there was some other like subclinical things, but that was like the main big piece.
So after that diagnosis, what happened? Did they put you on medication? Did they what happened after that?
I didn't go on medication until I was older, so I wasn't on medication. I think we didn't really do much either involving like special, like the 504s or anything like that, because I was transferring to like a really small private school that was kind of already like not like alternative learning, but a lot of the kids that went there were like people from that wanted to go to a school that was more like creative and free thinking. So a lot of like for Sonoma County, like a lot of like artists, sons went there and things like that, and like musicians. So a lot of the kids probably had ADHD. So the school is kind of tailored to ADHD in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Not on purpose.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Abby, do you have a question?
Oh, I was just going to say, what ADHD, do you know, is it combined type or predominantly inattentive, or do you also have some hyperactivity and impulsivity?
I think when I was first diagnosed, it was combined, but, and I think when I was diagnosed at 12 too, it was combined or re-diagnosed, but now it's probably only inattentive. I'm not very hyperactive or impulsive at all.
So how long did you stay at that school?
2 years.
So, and then what'd you do?
I went back to the school I'd left.
Why? What happened? I mean, was it just not a good fit?
The school was so relaxed when it came to like rules and structure to fit like all brain types, I guess, that it didn't increase like I was learning less and still performing probably at the same rate.
Right.
And I realized that the structure portion of my old school had been the only thing probably that had helped me before fourth grade do so well.
Mm.
That makes sense.
That's
that makes
great.
Sense.
Did you come to that realization on your own that you needed to go back to that other school, or did your mom?
Yeah. I think every time I've transferred schools, it's been my own decision.
That's
to
awesome.
Go.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Very
That's
cool.
very insightful.
It is. You're very in touch with your own needs. So you definitely like structure.
Yeah.
So after you went back to the original school, when was the next time you had any testing done? Or do you remember?
The next time I had big testing done would have been when I was 16.
Okay.
16. I went to a specialist in Santa Rosa.
Was that what drove that? Like, were you needing to get reevaluated, or were you guys suspecting something else?
No, I had gone to high school for my first year to public school, and kind of like same thing. Grades were like horrible. And, so I had just transferred to like a new private school in Santa Rosa, which was an area like 20 minutes from where I grew up. And that was kind of like the catalyst to like see if it was, because my mom, I think at that point, thought maybe it's more serious than we first thought, or maybe there's something more going on. So I went to a specialist in Santa Rosa, and he did more of he did like the formal ADHD testing again, but he also just kind of did like one-on-one talking and did like different exercises through that to get a more like holistic idea. And it was kind of the same thing. I think it was still combined at that point, but it was starting to lean less as like more so towards one side. Mm-hmm. And I also think he was the first one. Yeah. His report said on it that he thought maybe there was something like dyslexia, but it probably wasn't important to test for.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Do you remember the kinds of things you were struggling with?
Yeah. I struggled with math my whole life. Probably since I've been old enough, like 10 or 11 to know. And then, I think the big thing is I wasn't even since like eighth grade and seventh grade, I did decent in that, but for the amount I did work, I still probably performed under what you would expect. And it didn't correlate to like when we would do like the, I don't know what they're called in Texas, but like the STAR test.
Mm-hmm. Or standardized testing.
Yeah. When we would do like those tests in eighth grade and seventh grade, I'd have like really high scores in reading and math, or in writing and math. And then my actual math grade would be like a C-. So there was some weird correlation wasn't like really happening.
How were you with getting like homework turned in?
Up until oh God, horrible. Up until about 15, yeah. Probably most of high school I was horrible at turning stuff in. Horrible.
Did you actually do the assignments and just not get them turned in? Or did you also struggle with knowing what you had to do and when you had to do it?
I didn't miss that many assignments, I would say. I just struggled with planning them. So in junior high, when we would have the science projects, the science fair and things like that, I would wait until the last day to do my actual studies. So I would have to go interview my whole neighborhood in an hour and then put together the project. And then my mom always had to end up it would end up 3 a.m. We're trying to figure out how to put this thing together. I would say, and then day to day, I would say I lost a lot of assignments. I'd put something in my backpack or leave it at home, or it would be so crumbled up in the bottom that it wouldn't even be usable. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So organizational skills. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't have any when I was young.
Was your room really messy?
Yeah. When I was young, I think it was pretty messy. Yeah.
When that doctor had mentioned maybe some mild dyslexia, do you remember ever struggling with reading?
No, but I also had no idea what struggling with reading, was, because the only thing I had of reading was the reading test we would take in eighth grade and seventh grade. And in both of those tests, I tested in college for actual ability to going actual reading speeds. But we never tested actual comprehension or what you understood. We just tested how fast you could say the words. So I think I assumed that speed meant you're a good reader, but I never read. After fourth grade, I don't think I picked up a book once other than for school.
Interesting. Okay. Uh-huh. That is fascinating.
So you didn't like reading? Is that why you didn't pick up a book?
I loved reading until I was in fourth grade. I mean, something just flipped. I read 10 books a week when I was younger. I read all the Harry Potters and all that, but then I stopped reading completely.
Huh. Yeah. Interesting.
That's so interesting. What about spelling?
Yeah, same thing. I was a good speller until I hit until words got more than three syllables. Mm-hmm. So I could spell I think the spelling bee I was good in until probably third grade, because you could memorize everything. But once it got to the point where it was 20 letters or 15 letters in a word, I still can't spell certain words. I just rely on autocorrect for a lot of things.
So at some point along your journey, someone else had picked up also maybe some visual processing, which we talk a lot about visual processing on our podcast because it's something we see a ton of. When was the first time someone had mentioned that to you or your mom?
I want to say both reports, my fourth grade one and the one I got at 16 had a little tidbit or a section or a note from the person who did the testing that there might be some sort of visual processing issue. But again, the fourth grade one, they thought it was more my eyesight. So I went to a specialist to train my eyes because they thought there was something with my eyes.
Weren't you reversing your B's and D's? Sorry to interrupt, but I feel like that was in one of your reports that maybe you were reversing your B's and D's. Do you remember that?
Well, my most recent report I got because I got one before I came and got the dyslexia report over the summer, a month before, and they had a test like that. And I reversed all the threes and all the, I think it was, B's, P's and M and N's.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Which interestingly is what drove you guys, what drove your mom to reach out to me about doing further testing for dyslexia. And she was kind of really surprised when we explained to her that dyslexia really isn't about letter reversals, but you can still have dyslexia and have really a visual processing issue, which is more of what those letter reversals were. So that was really interesting. I'm glad that the person who did your testing was kind of unaware of what dyslexia really was, because that's how we ended up actually getting the right diagnosis, not necessarily for the right reasons, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so fast forward to the summer when we did the testing and we found dyslexia, which I don't think anyone was super surprised about. You definitely showed some gaps in your phonological awareness, your ability to sort of decode and pull apart words. I think you're one of those students, though, that is incredibly bright and has developed some amazing compensatory strategies. And Abby and I actually were being interviewed for a podcast earlier today where we talked a lot about that, how it's easy to skate through when you're just a really bright kid and you can, you know, mask really any issues. So even you probably didn't realize that you were having the struggles because you didn't know any different and you just made it work and you're a good problem solver. And so, so since we did that testing, tell me a little bit about what's happened since then.
Yeah, I mean, a lot's changed because, I mean, I changed my majors or my major last year. So I had a whole change of like the work I do is completely different.
Where was it and what was it and what did you change it to?
So before it was performance studies, wanting to be in like music management. So the majority of my classes were watching like movies or music videos and like analyzing like the social and like political ideas behind it or why they did this or why they did that. So a lot of writing and a lot of reading. So my whole grades would be like 10-page essays. Now, which was easier in some regards, now in econ, it's much more, especially at NYU, it's really heavy math, the econ program. So it's a lot of, it's my whole days are basically just looking at graphs and like algebra, like equations and supply and demand curves and all these kind of things. So it's much more, not as much write. I don't write or read ever. I just spend, but I spend like almost all my week doing math or some variation of math.
That's interesting because you've said that you've always struggled in math and now you're immersed in math and, but you're able to avoid the reading and writing, which is difficult for you as well. So how are you doing so far with your econ major?
Yeah. I mean, it's been kind of hard to judge because I'm taking a lot of like the, at NYU, like we call them like the GPA tankers. So you just want to get them out of the way. So I took a lot, like I'm taking a lot of like the, a lot of our math is pre, like prerequisites just to take like advanced level econ courses. So you're just trying to pass, but I've like the first math class I took, I passed. And like the actual econ courses have been pretty straightforward. And the only semi-difficult part is the traditional math.
Okay. Do you have accommodations? Do you have an accommodation plan in place at school?
Yeah. So I have an accommodation plan. It's kind of interesting. I mean, last semester I used it a little bit for the testing portion, but I don't really use the extra time test ever because they've normally affected my grades the opposite way because I just have too much time to think. And then I also have like an audio book and like those kind of subscriptions. But the thing is I sometimes have to use that, but because of technology, almost a lot of my econ courses and math courses, we use an online program to do our homework. So our textbooks are through these programs and they have the same like reading features. So I just kind of use those when I need them. And then, I mean, other than that, I'm trying to think, do I have any other...
Are you getting copies of notes or anything?
Not really. I can ask if I want to, but I'm pretty good at notes. Like I have a pretty organized, now I'm super overly organized in like the latter 4 years, like the last 4 years of my life. So I have like a pretty good organization of my notes. And I also take, one of my friends is an econ major too. And we take a lot of courses, at the same, like are in a lot of the same courses. So that kind of helps with notes because if you miss something or he misses something, the chances are you have it.
That's a good strategy. Yeah. That's smart.
Did you ever work with like a dyslexia therapist or an ADHD coach? Have you ever accessed any of those kinds of services?
No.
I connected you with Melanie. Did you ever work with Melanie?
Yeah. So I think we talked to Melanie. And then we were gonna wait until I think summer to start it or something along that lines. Once I had a gap in like actual classes, because my schedule is just so like weird, and I spend most of my time just doing homework.
And that was really probably more for the dyslexia therapy than anything.
Yeah. Which to be we came to the conclusion too, I have no reading or writing for a little while right now. So
you're okay till summer.
Do you feel like you changed your major because of your diagnosis, or were you already wanting to change your major?
No, I already changed my major. I wanted to change my major about a weekend of being here.
Okay.
My original plan was to be a business or econ major if I went to any other school.
And do you feel like that was because of the amount of reading and writing that you had to do? It was taxing.
I think it's maybe partially that. It's also because it's all problem solving. So I enjoy like econ a lot because I like to, and like accounting and the other courses I take, I like having like adding things up and that kind of stuff. And I also am a person that really hates like theoretical. So I didn't like that my old major because nothing had an answer, and everything has an answer in math and in science. So it's very like, I like to actually have like a final answer.
More concrete.
I don't like debatable things.
That's a very ADHD thing. I feel like ADHD people tend to be very black and white, right? Like there's no gray. Like it is this or it's not this, and there's nothing in between.
Yeah.
And right. I think I see that as a common thread when we talk to people that have ADHD. So that's awesome. And I think then that also, though, goes with your dyslexia, because so much of the language arts and the literature side of things tend to be how you interpret it and how you read between the lines. And it takes a certain level of comprehension, really. Uh-huh. In order to be able to make sense of that. And so dyslexics typically are drawn to the black and white of math and science. So you kind of fit the mold perfectly.
So I'm wondering, Marcus, you said that you used to not be organized, and now in the last several years, you've become more organized, extremely organized. What was the turning point, or how did you turn that around? How did you become more organized?
Yeah. I mean, a couple of factors. When I was about the last time I transferred schools was my junior year. I transferred back to where I went to elementary school, the high school, for my final senior year. And at that point, I think I went to Europe that summer to visit my like god uncle and lived with him for the summer. And I something about that trip made me realize I wanted to go to college because I wanted to like be able to have chances or have a better chance of being able to like visit places and do like more things. So that trip like was the first thing. So when I got back, I kind of wanted to change my whole idea and actually apply for college, which meant I had to get my grades like much, much higher in my senior year. Especially that first semester, I had to like boost my GPA by like a considerable amount. So I became really focused. And on top of that, that was the first time I took an econ class for the first time that semester. And that was like my favorite class I ever took in high school. And it's also like one of the most hated by the student body. So it's like, I think that kind of motivated me because I realized there was something I actually wanted to do. But I also definitely, I'm much more like my dad than my mom and my sister. And my dad is super like time management, like always on time. And I've kind of, I might've been missing like the organization, but I've always been someone who's 10 minutes early and like super, I'm super value time and try to make sure I'm like always on the ball with that. But my dad is similar, and it kind of makes sense because my sister and my mom my mom is now in like a much more art, you know, like podcasting, like designing field. And my sister majored in performance studies. So she's like totally in that field. And then my dad is a finance major who does business. And I like that too. So we kind of have that similar, but each kid had its similarities to one of the parents. And I feel like I've always been more like him. And then I also think the last thing is as I've got older, my ADHD has really dipped off.
Nice.
To the point where like I took last year, I went on a Vyvanse prescription just for like when I had essays. And after about 2 months of just taking that, I didn't need it anymore. It kind of just like eliminated itself. But I have one of my best friends here has ADHD, and that's what kind of made me realize I probably don't have it as bad anymore because I'm like, he's much more, you know, like hour of work. He needs like 30 minutes break. I can work for like 10 hours straight.
Even on something you're not interested in?
Yeah. I mean, I have to do a lot of classes that are just like prereqs and I'm not like greatly interested in. I mean, I'm pretty focused. I had my like subclinical OCD when I was younger and I still think I have that. So that's kind of always been like a factor. I think that's kind of slowly eliminated the ADHD because and I also do all my work on my iPad. So I don't have to really worry about like notebook organization.
That's smart though. Those are great. That's a great way to compensate.
Mm-hmm. It is. Definitely. You sound like you're doing awesome and you're very in touch with your own strengths and weaknesses and what works for you. So that being self-aware of your own needs, you've probably developed different coping strategies or compensatory techniques without even thinking about it. You've been drawn to things that work well for you or that help you with overcoming some of your other weaker areas.
That's basically great. My whole life. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Because you're smart and you've got good problem solving skills.
That's huge. It pays off. So if you could go back to that fourth grade Marcus, right, and tell him something now that you know everything that you know and you've experienced these last, you know, however many years, if you could go back and give one piece of advice to kind of make that journey a little bit, you know, easier or to go smoothly, what do you think you would tell him?
I mean, this is probably kind of weird, but I probably would have not transferred that first time. I think that kind of set me back like 2 years or 3 years. And then I think I was kind of adjusting or trying to make up for what I lost every year.
Right.
I think that started the cycle of transferring so much.
Right.
And I think if I had never started that cycle, I probably would have been much more. Not had as big of gaps in certain subjects and areas.
I think probably you were looking for, you knew something was off and you didn't know what it was and you were thinking it was the setting, right? So you were trying to look for that fix when really the fix was probably more the dyslexia, the ADHD, some of the visual stuff, but you didn't know about some of that and you were just looking for the school to make the difference when really it was something going on that nobody had picked up with you.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, at that point, like my mom was still like a real estate agent. So she didn't really have much. She was like, she knew what they were, ADHD and dyslexia and things like that were, but it was more like a hobby and something she thought maybe you have, like maybe I have, but maybe no one else has. And I also think, it was a Catholic school. So I think your first thought is to go, well, Catholic schools are like really strict. So maybe it's just the strictness. Uh-huh. Or maybe it's the fact that like I have to learn religion while I'm at school, but it wasn't the Catholic school. And to be fair to Catholic school, the combined 9 years I spent at Catholic school were usually my like most solid years in every aspect.
You responded well to that structure, even though it didn't feel good maybe, but it's what your brain needed. And it's probably why you are doing so well now even.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, yeah. If I hadn't gone to the high school for my last year, I don't know what I would have done.
That's awesome. I am so excited to hear that, you know, you've figured out your major, you're on the right track, you have a plan, and that's got to feel really good. Do you know what you want to do when you graduate? Are you going to be done after your senior year? Do you want to go on for more school?
This summer I'm doing an internship in New York for a big international bank, working as like a financial analyst intern. I probably want to do, go into like investment banking, but more so like mergers and acquisitions is the end goal. But I'm also thinking about maybe going back to school at some point for like a master's in economics.
Good for you. So some more school doesn't scare you.
PhD scares me, but not a master's. Yeah.
Me too.
Good for you, Marcus. That's awesome.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us for a little bit today and just kind of sharing your story. I think it just helps other people to hear kind of different scenarios of what people have gone through and how they've kind of, how they've, well, found amazing success and ended up, you know, finding those workarounds and those strategies. And I think the diagnosis can be really important sometimes. So
definitely.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for sharing your story.
If you guys have any questions for us, you can always reach us at letstalklearningdisabilities@gmail.com. Thank you so much for being here today, and thanks for listening. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Marcus, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
All right, bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.